Welcome to this podcast for St. Peter's Church Greenhill, as we seek to become loving, witnessing and growing people.
Hello. Let's take my glasses off. So the first thing that struck me about the reading this morning was grace, that wonderful gift from God. I just love grace. It's like an amazing gift that we get whether we deserve it or not. It's not dependent on who you are. It's not dependent on what you've done. It's like an incomparable kindness. It's God's unconditional love, even to the unlovable. Grace is perfect, and it's freely given to us through Jesus Christ, whose generosity was so great that though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor. And by that poverty, we can become rich. Rich with the fruits of the Spirit. Rich in joy, rich in faith, rich in peace, kindness, love. Rich in our generosity. See everyone clutching their purses. No, I don't really. This church is blessed to have generous givers in it. So that was a joke. So all of us, generous givers, let's keep on giving and then give some more. Because how generous is God to us? Look at how he loves us, and he never, ever stops. Look at everything that he gives us, and he gives it all out of love. He gave us Jesus. So let's follow him and give our all first to the Lord. Yep, God's generosity. It's just amazing. God even laid out a generous, loving, economic plan for humanity where the most vulnerable are cared for. And he invites us to be part of this. To be part of where the poor are welcome, the hungry are fed, mourners are comforted, slaves are freed, sick are healed, the exhausted are given rest, and the unloved are loved. God gives new patterns for living. Think of the practice of gleaning. Think of the year of Jubilee. Imagine living in a world of equality where there's no debt, no homelessness, no slavery. Sounds like heaven. God did create a world with enough. And with God's grace, we can carry this message to our communities and we can watch it ripple out. And that ripple might be the start of a life made new with Jesus. That's good news. Now, at the time that this letter to the Corinthians was written, the Christians in Jerusalem needed support and help, which they wouldn't get from the world that they were in. So Paul faithfully recruited financial aid and relief, just like what happens today around the world and closer to home. But yet, sometimes we're bombarded with ads, aren't we, for aid? So much so that we just become desensitised and we stop caring. We can't give to everything, and in this onslaught of needs, we end up giving nothing. Because giving isn't as easy as it sounds. Now, we as a church help each other. Someone has a baby, we offer to cook up some meals. Someone's struggling with cleaning, we can get a team together. Like I said, St. Peter's is a loving, generous church. We help each other emotionally, financially, practically, and we do so out of love. But could we still do more? Are these things just left for whoever does them? And then if they can't do them, they just don't get done. So this is what Paul was saying to the Corinthian church. Now, they were a fairly wealthy lot. They'd got money to offer, but they just didn't seem to get round to doing it. The intention was there, but they needed help moving that into action. And that can happen so easily. Do you ever get a feeling, say, like when you're washing up and you just think, oh, I'll just ring such and such and see how they are. Or I'll just drop some food off to such and such on my way out. But then our own stresses get in the way and we don't bother doing it. Act on those thoughts because it might be the Spirit prompting you to do something for a reason. It might be a small action that sets off a ripple that somehow changes someone's life. When we walked into church today, I saw that action in place. Somebody here gave somebody a gift of something, and that somebody then said, oh, thank you. It's those small little things that don't seem to matter, that don't seem to get noticed. They're just small, but that's love in action. No one knows what that gift might mean to somebody or what that thank you might mean to somebody else. These little things, they can be life-changing. Now, the churches in Macedonia, they overflowed in a wealth of generosity, even when they had severe trials and poverty of their own. They gave what they had, and then they gave some more. And they did it not to be the saviours, not to be the good guys, not just because Paul asked them to, but they gave from God's grace. They gave sacrificially, setting an amazing example. So Paul wanted to encourage the Corinthians to develop a joy in giving, to be part of the privilege in sharing. I thanked one of our church family for her prayers the other day, and she just replied with, "Oh, well, there's no thanks needed. It's a privilege to share together." And she has so many trials of her own too, but there's always joy in her giving, joy in her actions, and she always glorifies God first. Again, St. Peter's is a generous, loving family. So as Christians, we try to give sacrificially, out of love. Because without love, we can give all that we have, but the action would just be empty. To love our neighbour as ourselves means that we hold on to possessions very loosely. Let's take a moment to think. Do you do that? Or would you need to like to do some work on that? That's okay. Be encouraged to share without fear and look to the good example of others that can give generously and see that they're filled with joy as they give out of love. Like I said, giving isn't always easy. So if you're not sure about giving, ask for help. What can I give? Why should I give? How can I give? Because it doesn't always come naturally. But through the grace of God and the good example of others, giving won't seem so scary. You won't need to hold that bit back just in case. So question what you do. Is it first for God? Do you conduct yourselves like the church in Macedonia? Do you live for yourself or do you live for God? Do you remember that all that you've got is His anyway? So yet another not so easy lesson in the life of followers of Jesus. But we can encourage each other and show each other how to live a more generous life. Because remember, we are one body because we all share in one bread, Jesus. So if one of us suffers, we all suffer together. But together we can be gracious givers. And together we can change the atmosphere from fear to joy, from worldly to heavenly. Which, as Paul tells us in the reading, the believers in Macedonia did. They gave first to God. In their suffering, they felt the grace of God. Grace which abounds in difficult times. Don't forget that. Grace abounds in difficult times. That grace gave the Macedonians true joy, and it drove them to give the things that they needed the most, to give from a place of love. And when we give in this sacrificial way, it kind of goes in a circle. It returns and renews us, and we find ourselves like on this roundabout of grace. Like grace begets grace, love begets love, giving begets giving. Disciples of God give generously, lovingly, sacrificially, recklessly even. And this keeps the church, us, the church, people of God, alive with hope and love and faith and charity. So as well as going in this cycle, don't forget about those ripples I talked about earlier, because they go out to our neighbours and beyond, changing the atmosphere. And that's not going to happen if giving's done begrudgingly. So if it's done from a place of love, this builds His kingdom and this grows disciples. And you know, sacrificial giving should also be received graciously, because sometimes it's hard to receive a gift as well, especially a financial one. But this difficulty actually comes from a place of self-sufficiency, not grace-sufficiency. God blesses us so that we can bless others. Let me give you an example of this cycle of grace, this ripple effect, and I hope it helps you see that those little prompts we get, when they're acted on, things change. So say someone's life is just going a little bit, which happens to all of us. We've all had life going a little bit horrible at times, a bit heavy going. But then people of God are prompted by the Spirit to give prayer and encouragement and love, bringing peace to an overwhelmed mind, which in turn helps to restore some of the chaos. God is invited into the centre, and then that love ripples outwards. God becomes the focus, not the problems. And here's another true story. Someone gets plunged into debt, probably due to a failure of the economic system that we've got, rather than God's generous economy, because then it just wouldn't have happened. But anyway, someone gets plunged into debt. People of God, filled with compassion, not pity, filled with grace, not judgment, are motivated by the Spirit to give, because they don't hold on tightly to what they've got. They know that all that they've got is God's anyway, so they give to Him first. They want to be part of the privilege of sharing. The recipient is restored and renewed. Graciously receiving enables them to pick themselves up, to sort things out, to see God at the centre of everything, and then with a renewed mindset, they can give afresh to another in need, whose burden is also unloaded, and allows them to give to another, and so on, and so on, and so on. And it wasn't all financial in that scenario. Not just money was given, but prayer, encouragement, hope, possibility of change. And it all brought relief and joy. It is a privilege to be part of love in action. It helps us to live in the kingdom of God here and now. This gracious giving moves people away from becoming overwhelmed and drawn into despair and worry. That's not God's plan for us. God draws us into His grace, and He's got plans to give us hope and a future and to grow us as disciples. God wants us to excel in giving, just as we excel in faith, in knowledge, in our passions. Let's excel in our actions, in our giving, not for ourselves, but for the glory of God. And not to earn His love, but because of His love. Amen. Now, I was going to finish there, but last week, Ned chucked us one of those curveballs. Graciously and lovingly, he chucked it at us, but he did anyway. So some of the things that we talked about last week, I just feel like the learning in today's passage seems very relevant to where we are at St. Peter's. So just bear with me a little longer, because I really want to encourage all of us to pray, pray, and pray some more. And listen to God calling you, because He is calling you. He's calling each and every one of us. Whatever you can give, no matter how great or small, it's meaningful and it's worthwhile to continue building this church and God's kingdom. So as we step into another new phase, let's connect with God and let's connect with each other and let's share without fear. We're a loving church. Love casts out fear. So don't hold back. If God gives you an inkling to do something, act on it. Be an answer to your prayer. Be an answer to our prayer. So let's share our ideas and our thoughts about what we can do to participate in God's holy nation. And as a royal priesthood, what can we give to build our church? Don't be sucked in by religiosity. Church isn't only Sunday mornings and Holy Communion, but instead participate in generosity and the visions of God's kingdom. So I urge us all to seek God with passion and open our hearts to God's grace. And to remember, grace abounds in deep waters. So when Ned leaves, we won't sink. We're going to connect and work together as a family under the banner of Christ. We're already a congregation of generous givers. So what are we going to do? We're going to give, and then we're going to give some more, and we're going to glorify God by our offerings. Why? Because it's a privilege to share, and he will sustain us. How are we going to do it? Graciously, lovingly, sacrificially, fearlessly, and recklessly. And we're going to do it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Are you with me, St. Peter's? Yes, amen. So, as we reflect on that, I hope you'll hear God gently calling you. So we're just going to pray now, and to listen to a song after we say a prayer that's sung by St. Peter's family during lockdown, during a time of difficulty, that St. Peter's family came together in those difficult times. And the worship team gave us this song that we'll hear in a minute, and they did it with worship and love, giving first to God. So we'll pray first, and then we'll reflect as we listen. Lord, teach me to be generous, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not seek for rest, to labour and not to look for any reward, save that of knowing I do your holy will. Amen.